Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
All of our hearts are broken. We feel your loss. We're thinking of you. And we will always be thinking of you.
Search and rescue efforts continue in Baltimore after a ship struck a bridge, causing it to crumble into the water. Right now at noon, where this investigation stands less than 12 hours later.
And President Biden and Vice President Harris are headed to Raleigh, where they'll stress key issues important to voters here in North Carolina.
I'm tracking rain on its way for the next couple of days. I will bring you the forecast coming up.
Maryland is under a state of emergency hours after a cargo ship struck Baltimore's Key Bridge, causing it to break apart and sink. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. If you've driven to New York, you've crossed the 1.6-mile bridge from the Baltimore Beltway, I-695, over the Patapsco River.
Now, this is the moment that container ship rammed into that bridge. It was 1:30 this morning. The Key Bridge broke apart in several large sections and fell into the water.
So here's what we know right now. Maryland governor says the crew aboard that ship reported a loss of power, which helped officials limit traffic on the bridge before the crash that caused that collapse. At least six people believed to be part of a construction crew that was repairing potholes on that bridge remain unaccounted for. And the FBI says initial investigation points to an accident, not terrorism.
We'll get back to that developing story in just a moment for you. Right now, Ken Smith is in the Live Center with more on this. Ken?
I've been monitoring this story ever since it happened. We came on the air at 4:30 this morning. I want to give you a couple of views of what we're looking at here. This is that expanse just crumbled into the river right now, courtesy of WJLA. And I wanted to bring you over here to a ground shot. This is what commuters would normally see going up the ramp to that bridge. But, of course, you see the bridge is completely crumbled right now. There are reports that the ship lost power shortly before it crashed right into the pillar. We're talking 95,000 pounds of inertia, an out-of-control ship hitting that pillar, and it crumbled that Key Bridge. Now, according to maritime officials, as part of the emergency protocols, the ship dropped its anchor in an effort to slow it down. This is in the south side of I-695 there in the Baltimore City. The governor saying this morning that the workers on board that ship recognized what was going on, called for Mayday. They said he said that likely saved lives. This allowed for the folks to stop traffic. I'm going to give you another view right now, a close-up look of that ship that's now abandoned. The other issue that's happening now, this is a very busy port here in Baltimore. Maritime traffic has come to a complete stop. Dozens of ships navigate this port on a daily basis, and right now, because of this crash, nothing is going in and out of Baltimore Harbor. We will continue to monitor this story for any new developments and bring you updates here in the WRAL Live Center.
Ken, thanks for that. We have some clouds increasing across our area right now ahead of a system that will bring some heavy rain to us Wednesday and Thursday. Meteorologist Brian Schrader in the WRAL Severe Weather Center to tell us how much rain.
Jeff, you can see clearly all of that rain back to our west. It is all heading this way, probably gets here overnight tonight. And again, it looks like a pretty wet Wednesday into Thursday. A live look right now at Durham on the WRAL Live Cam Network. We are overcast in many spots. A lot of areas seeing some high, thin clouds, so a little sun is getting through, kind of that milky sunshine. But in other areas, pretty gray. 52 degrees right now in the triangle. And around the rest of the area, we're seeing temperatures generally in the low to mid 50s. Here's a look at Apex with some of the breaks there in the clouds. Still, it's a gray day, and as we head through the afternoon, we'll see mostly cloudy skies and high temperatures reaching the mid-60s later this afternoon. Now, again, our rain chances really ramp up overnight tonight into Wednesday. Tomorrow is looking pretty wet, and we have a really good chance of seeing a soaking rain Wednesday night into the day on Thursday, but it looks like we will see that rain ending to save at least part of your Thursday. We'll take a look at the models and tell you the hour-by-hour rain chances coming up.
All right, Brian, thanks. The president and vice president are heading to the Triangle today. They're coming to talk about health care and reproductive rights. Vice President Kamala Harris is already on a flight here, and the president will be leaving shortly after. WRAL's Destiny Patterson is at RDU right now as we wait for them to get here.
We're We're expecting Vice President Kamala Harris to get here first around 1 o'clock, and then the president is expected to be here about an hour later. Of course, they don't travel together for security reasons. This is Harris's second trip to the Triangle already this month, and the president's second trip to the Triangle this year. It's rare for the two of them to travel together, and this really shows the emphasis that they're putting on our state. The discussion around health care coverage and reproductive rights comes after the state expanded Medicaid coverage and put more restrictions in place for abortions. Also happening today in D.C., the Supreme Court will hear a case about access for abortion pills. I asked the White House press secretary about the administration's message to voters surrounding abortion.
The president and the vice president are going to stand with women, going to stand with majority of Americans. A woman's right to choose is important. We have to protect our freedoms and we have to protect our rights.
After they land here this afternoon, they will also be making stops at the Chavis Community Center as well as the Marriott City Center. Destiny Patterson, WRAL News, RDU.
We'll have complete coverage of the president and vice president's visit beginning at 4 p.m. Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. meantime is expected to announce his running mate today. New York Times reports he will select entrepreneur Nicole Shanahan, citing two people close to the campaign. Kennedy said in an interview that aired Sunday, the person he had chosen as a running mate has ties to the area around Oakland. Shanahan was born there.
Today, the Supreme Court is hearing arguments on the abortion drug mifepristone. It's one of two drugs used to terminate a pregnancy. And this is less than 2 years after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade with its Dobbs decision. Here in Raleigh, a rally was held to defend medication abortion. WRAL's Shelley Jackson was there. She joins us live this afternoon. Shelley.
Good afternoon. That rally ended 45 minutes ago. About 80 people showed up here in front of the federal courthouse for the rally to defend access to abortion medication. There were no counter-protesters at today's rally. Now, the rally brought together people of different faiths that say their religion supports a woman's right to choose reproductive freedom. The Supreme Court could issue a ruling that would cut off mail and telemedicine prescriptions.
I thought we had fought this fight before Roe v. Wade was decided. And we kind of took a breath, and then all of a sudden, it comes back and smacks us in the face.
Now, some of the groups out here today had protesters in D.C. in front of the Supreme Court. And as for the court's decision, we don't know exactly when that will happen. It usually comes by early summer, usually June.
All right, Shelley Jackson live in Raleigh. Thanks, Shelley. And today, UNC law students are calling for the Raleigh Police Department to release body camera footage from a raid on a family home. They say that that raid came through the wrong door and the family was traumatized as a result. This raid happened in April of 2021 at the home of Amir Aboud, his pregnant wife, Marion, and their 11-month-old son. This is video from a security camera outside their home. And according to the suit, RPD officers used a quick knock warrant and busted down the front door before pointing guns at the family. The suit claims officers realized several minutes later they had the wrong person and the wrong house. The person of interest was a neighbor, the only other Arab man in the neighborhood. The suit claims the wrongful raid was a result of racial discrimination.
A second person charged in a murder near downtown Raleigh is now scheduled to appear in court this afternoon. Kayla Jones is being held on a $3 million secured bond in connection with the murder of 22-year-old Nicholas Dominic in December. She's charged as an accessory after the fact. Marcus Fletcher is charged with shooting Dominic on Summit Avenue. He later died at the hospital. Wasteful and flawed. That's how some top financial officers in 18 states describe the IRS direct file program. And now they're urging the agency to scrap that program. They argue it could lead to penalties for users who are not aware of additional filing requirements. The agency's filing initiative has faced criticism for its limited scope and potential to mislead users, particularly low-income taxpayers. The program does not include state tax returns on it and offers minimal customer support. Next at noon, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange will not be extradited to the U.S. for now. Why the U.K. has blocked him from espionage charges in America.
Also, the Terminator has a pacemaker. What action star Arnold Schwarzenegger is revealing about his heart condition.
Plus, the plan to revitalize Fayetteville Street in Raleigh. At 12:30, the idea is being discussed to get more people downtown.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Happening now in the WRAL Live Center, we continue to follow that breaking news that we've been following all morning long out of Baltimore, that bridge collapse. I want to give you a live look right now, courtesy of our NBC station there in the Washington, D.C. area, because several agencies, not just in Baltimore, but several agencies around the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area are working this scene this morning. And of course, these are cameras that that we don't have any control of. So what you're seeing is what they're showing their viewers there in the D.C. Baltimore area, and we're seeing it as well. You're looking at the what's left of the key bridge that collapsed this morning. You had 95,000 pounds of this cargo ship hurtling toward that pillar, and it struck it and crumbled that bridge. We're told that based on emergency protocols, the people on that cargo ship issued a midday call, which gave officials an opportunity to stop traffic on the bridge, but there was still several cars on that bridge. We're told that six people are unaccounted for right now. Most of them are said to be construction workers who were there on the ship. Before I wrap, I want to show you right now what the key bridge looks like on a normal day in the southern part of Baltimore. 11 million vehicles navigate that bridge on a daily basis. Of course, that's not happening right now. This could be a situation that they're dealing with for months, if not years ahead.
All right. Thank you, Ken. Well, this morning, London's High Court put the WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange's extradition to the U.S. from Britain on hold.
Yeah, London's High Court said the U.S. must provide assurances Assange would not face the death penalty. He's wanted in the U.S. on 18 charges, including breaking espionage laws. Those came after WikiLeaks released thousands of secret government files. Assange's wife spoke after the ruling, saying Julian is being persecuted because he exposed the cost of war on human lives.
It is a signal to all of you that if you expose the interests that are driving war, they will come after you. They will put you in prison and they will try to kill you.
Each of the counts carries a potential sentence of 10 years, meaning if convicted, Assange could be sentenced up to 175 years in prison.
New this noon, Arnold Schwarzenegger is a step closer to being a real-life Terminator. The action star and former California governor revealed on a podcast that he had surgery to get a pacemaker last week. He said he's a little bit more of a machine now, and he's doing great. The 76-year-old said he was born with a congenital heart defect. He's had several heart surgeries over the years, and his doctor said it was time to get this surgery because scar tissue had caused an irregular heartbeat.
Family photos from a woman in Washington state are headed to the Obama Presidential Library in Chicago. This is all after she found pictures of former President Barack Obama's mother. Megan Dasher Watkins was going through her late mother's belongings last year when she came on some photos that caught her eye. They're pictures of Stanley Ann Dunham, better known as the mother of the former president. Megan remembers her mother talking about Dunham during the Obama administration. They would go on sleepovers and campouts and together as teenagers. And when she found the pictures, she knew she had to do the right thing.
She would be so honored and thrilled to be able to donate this to the library of such a significant, important person in history. It makes me so happy that my mom's name is going to be a part of this.
Last February, Megan talked with King 5 about her discovery, and that center's registrar contacted her to ask for the photos to make a display in Chicago. She calls it a privilege to have her family artifacts on display at the Obama Center.
NC State's women's basketball team is moving on to the Sweet 16. The Wolfpack led by as many as 20 points in the second round game with Tennessee at Reynolds Coliseum on Monday. The Lady Volunteers fought back to make it close, but the Pack held them off in the end for a 79-72 win. NC State will now head to Portland, Oregon for the next round of the tournament. They'll play Stanford there on Friday. And all three Triangle men's teams made the Sweet 16, and WREL will take you there. Pat Welter will follow the Tar Heels to California, and Chris Lee will be in Dallas with NC State and Duke. The games start on Thursday. That's when UNC takes on Alabama in Los Angeles at 9:39 Eastern time. And then Friday, NC State plays Marquette at 7:09 p.m., and it's Duke versus Houston at 9:39 p.m. Our live coverage starts tomorrow right here on WREL. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's been almost a decade since we had all three teams, men's side, in the Sweet 16.
It's so great. Cool.
Good percentage
it's so cool.
out there.
Yeah.
Can't shake these clouds, really. Brian Schrader in the WREL Severe Weather Center right now with a nice look at the golf course, though.
That's right. Always nice to check in on the Longleaf Golf and Family Club in Southern Pines. And the clouds there are thin enough that we're getting some sunshine through there. And you can see that there's a little bit of a shadow being cast out there. In some areas, the clouds are a little thicker this afternoon. And you'll notice as we head through the rest of the afternoon, the clouds will thicken up and we'll call it mostly cloudy. Right now, 51 degrees in Southern Pines. And as we take a look at that satellite picture, you can see those thicker clouds starting to drift in from the west. This is all ahead of a cold front that'll be coming through the area as we head through Wednesday into Thursday. And we're going to get a low pressure system that builds off the coast, rides up along the coast for a couple of days, bringing some pretty heavy rain to the eastern parts of North Carolina. Our temperatures right now are generally in the low to mid 50s. We're going to be warming up to the low 60s in our northern counties this afternoon, 61 for a high temperature in Henderson this afternoon, 62 in Wilson. We're calling for mid-60s in the Triangle, and in the Sand Hills in our southern counties, 66 degrees the forecast high this afternoon in Fayetteville, 64 there in Southern Pines. Let's talk about what's going to happen here later tonight into tomorrow. As I mentioned, we've got that cold front coming in, and even in our evening hours tonight, we could see a sprinkle here or there, but I really think the best chance of rain develops overnight, late Wednesday night, or rather late tonight into early Wednesday morning. Here's a look at tomorrow morning, right around commute time. A few showers here on this version of Futurecast, and we're going to be dealing with showers as we head through the day on Wednesday. Here's a look at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. You can see a pretty good chance of some scattered showers out there, but the real brunt of the rain starts to come in Wednesday night into Thursday morning. This is Thursday around midnight with a lot of coverage here and also some pretty intense rain. We could see some locally heavy rain with some of these showers moving through overnight Thursday into early Thursday morning. This is Thursday at about 6 a.m., and you can see it's going to be a wet morning commute. As we head into the late morning and early afternoon hours on Thursday, we'll see that rain tapering off to showers, and maybe by the end of the day, we'll see a little bit of clearing as that system pulls away. So a wet period as we head overnight tonight through the day tomorrow and into at least the first part of Thursday. Overall, we're talking about a real soaker with total amounts of about an inch in the Triangle. The farther east you go, that's where we're likely going to see the heaviest rain, maybe 2 to 3 inches of rain along and east of that I-95 corridor. Behind that system, it looks like a beautiful Easter weekend with temperatures in the mid to upper 70s and sunshine. Coming up in our next half hour, we'll take our first look at what the Easter sunrise services might look like. Looks like a pretty nice start to our day on Sunday. Again, those rain chances really ramp up tonight into tomorrow and the first part of Thursday before it dries out. Nice day on Friday. Next chance of rain comes late Sunday into Monday.
Beautiful weekend ahead.
Weekend looking good. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian. Well, shipping traffic in the Baltimore port is suspended after that bridge collapse. WREL heads to the North Carolina coast to find out how this could impact ports in our state at 6.
Wolf Speed celebrates a major construction milestone for its Chatham County facility. At 4 o'clock, we hear from the company's CEO about its future in an interview you'll see only on WREL. And soon, you won't have to wait for the hot, fresh sign to get your hands on tasty Krispy Kreme donuts, the fast food restaurant that's making the sweet treats available across the nation. Plus,
as far as holidays go, it is not difficult at all to make them more sustainable.
Later, we'll share some easy ways you can help make Easter earth-friendly.
The price of a Trader Joe's banana is going up, and Elon Musk has a new rule for Tesla workers. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Workers at Tesla now need to install and show customers how to use the vehicle's full self-driving system before handing the car over to the buyer. The directive comes from CEO Elon Musk, who said it was a mandatory rule. He's instructed staff to take the customer on a short test ride to show how to use the driver assistance system. Musk says he knows the demonstrations will slow down the delivery process, but he said that he wants people to realize how well the full self-driving system works. Donald Trump's social media company starts trading today. The former president's Trump Media and Technology Group merged with a shell company called Digital World Acquisition that was already publicly traded. The combined entity will begin trading today under the ticker symbol DJT. Trump's net worth has been soaring as a result of the merger. He'll own almost 80 million shares of the company. Based on yesterday's closing price, that was worth $4 billion, and that's pushed his net worth up to $6.5 billion, according to Bloomberg. Trader Joe's has hiked the price of a banana for the first time in more than 20 years. A single banana now costs 23 cents. It had been 19 cents. Customers have ranked that low-cost fruit as the favorite piece of produce at Trader Joe's. The retailer says it only raises prices when costs rise. And now after more than two decades at 19 cents, a change was necessary. But Trader Joe's says it has also been able to lower prices on other produce like green onions and romaine hearts. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Abert, the NASDAQ Market Site.
Shrinkflation here. Dollar Tree is keeping its name, but it's raising its max price on some items. The discount store chain says it'll offer items for up to $7 at its stores. Some of the highest priced items will include food and pet supplies. Customers can also expect stores to start offering various sizes of products at different price points as well.
Soon, you'll be able to satisfy your donut craving at McDonald's. Krispy Kreme donuts will be available at the fast food giant nationwide by the end of 2026. The two companies have been working together, testing Krispy Kreme donuts at McDonald's in Kentucky. And customers can pick up original glazed chocolate ice with sprinkles and chocolate iced cream filled at the Golden Arches. Krispy Kreme will deliver the donuts daily to McDonald's locations. And according to a recent study from CNBC, to live comfortably, you should be making enough to spend 50% of your income on necessities like housing. 30% of your spending can go toward things like travel and entertainment, and you should still have 20% of your income left to put into savings or investments. And according to personal finance website Smart Asset, Raleigh is the 23rd most expensive place in the country to make that all happen. The study found a single person in Raleigh needs an income of more than $102,000 a year to meet the living comfortably goal. You can visit WREL.com to find a list of the salaries needed to reach the living comfortably goals in other cities in North Carolina and around the country.
We continue to bring you all the new developments in the Baltimore Bridge collapse, how state, local, and federal authorities are using all their resources in this search and rescue operation.
And companies that use artificial intelligence in their products need massive data centers to train the software. That's putting a strain on the nation's power grid. What some experts say could be done to prevent an overload. And as we head to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
We have to be thinking about the families and people impacted. Folks who we have to try to find and save. This is what our focus should be on right now. We're going to continue to work in partnership with every part of government to do everything that we can to get us through the other side of this tragedy.
Eight people were on Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge when a cargo ship crashed into it early this morning. Two of them were saved from the water earlier today. Six people still unaccounted for.
And happening now in the WR Live Center, Michelle, those six people are reportedly construction workers who were working on that bridge when that cargo ship struck that pillar. I want to give you a live look now at what's left of that bridge. It's just a crumbled mess resting on top of the cargo ship that struck it this morning. I want to give you some numbers courtesy of the WRL data trackers, looking at some numbers concerning the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Currently, it's rated as fair, according to the Federal Highway Administration. Inspectors look at some key points of that bridge to determine that rating, which they look at deck, the superstructure, and the substructure. According to last year's data, it was last inspected in May of 2021. There was an underwater inspection completed in March of 2021. Again, right now, this is a look at what's left of that bridge. We'll keep monitoring this story for any new developments during this newscast.
And in the wake of this tragedy, President Biden has directed his administration to ensure every federal resource is available to assist search and rescue efforts and the response to this terrible incident. The president is expected to speak from the Roosevelt Room in the White House at any moment. We're standing by for that. When he does speak, we'll listen in. We'll bring you what he says. He and Vice President Kamala Harris will be traveling to Raleigh separately. They'll be here together, and they'll talk about health care, focused by a campaign fund, followed by a campaign fundraiser, underscoring the balance an incumbent president must strike in an election year. WRL is keeping track of both of these major stories. We'll have live reports on air and online.
And today we'll learn more about plans to revitalize Fayetteville Street in downtown Raleigh. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains city leaders want to entice more people to visit downtown and make it more family friendly. City leaders are working towards two goals today. One, figuring out how much money they have for this project, and two, what exactly they're going to do with it. And part of this plan for revitalizing Fayetteville Street is getting rid of these old newspaper boxes and changing the design of this sidewalk. This is a look now at the reimagined version of Fayetteville Street. The goal is to make it known as North Carolina's Main Street. Here's another look at those plans. It includes more walkable space, greenery, and outdoor seating. This is all a part of a larger plan to bring new life to the area. It has recommendations for celebrating the Black Business District, plus adding options for art, entertainment, and housing.
What it looks to do is sort of reinvigorate this part of downtown. So this part of downtown was hit really hard by COVID, right? It's had, the way that people work in offices has changed, the way people sort of interact and go places has changed. So we need to make sure that downtown changes and evolves as well.
That was Bill King, president and CEO of the Downtown Raleigh Alliance. He says the next step after today's discussion will be for the city council to approve this at their next meeting. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Raleigh. And tomorrow we'll learn who will become the new president of Meredith College. President Joe Allen is retiring after 13 years at the school. She was the first alumnae to serve as the college's president. Her replacement will be announced at the campus celebration tomorrow.
The performance grade your child's school receives could change soon. State lawmakers are considering updating how that grade is calculated. The current grading system relies only on standardized test scores. The new system would consider different scores for different areas, like student growth or career and college readiness. They say it would help parents better understand how well a school is teaching its students. A key committee recommended the changes today with support from the state superintendent. Lawmakers could vote on the update when they return to session next month. Tonight, Duke healthcare workers will rally in a call for peace in Gaza. A group called Triangle Healthcare Workers for Palestine will gather tonight. They want Duke Health to publicly call for a ceasefire in Gaza. More than 200 workers signed a petition and delivered it to Duke Health's CEO earlier this month. The vigil is happening at 7 outside Duke University Hospital in Durham.
Ora Mobley Sweeting has spent a lifetime fighting for human rights, and now as she turns 97 years old, her community in Fayetteville is honoring her hard work. They came together on Monday for a birthday celebration for her. In her younger days, she was forced to move to New York after teaching Black history to students in Whiteville, North Carolina. Her family was afraid that her activism was going to be met with violence from the KKK. In New York, she formed the Central Harlem Mothers Association to fight for educational rights for the Black community. She was on the school board for years in Harlem. She was arrested for lying down in the street between kitchen chairs, protesting the lack of crosswalks near the community's Black school.
By the time I get downstairs, she has her legs wrapped around the policeman and is beating him on his back because he stepped over her and said, "Get up." And she said, "When you stepped over me, you stepped over every mother in Harlem."
Sweeting's many accomplishments are being turned into a documentary produced by Fayetteville State University. The school got a grant from the North Carolina Humanity Council to start the documentary, but it does need help completing the project. You can go to WRL.com to find out how you can help.
And happening now in the WRA Live Center, a momentous occasion for Wolf Speed in Chatham County. Take a look at a new video just into our newsroom showing dignitaries from Wolf Speed signing a beam that will be part of a topping off ceremony for that construction site for its manufacturing facility there in Chatham County. This is on the John Palmore Manufacturing Facility that produces silicon carbide for Wolf Speed. That topping off ceremony will happen in just a little bit. You see video of the dignitaries signing that beam. And of course, a topping off ceremony happens when that last beam is placed atop a construction site. And that's what's happening there. Matt Tallham is working that story. Also, our Deborah Morgan spoke with the CEO of Wolf Speed. That's an interview you'll see only on WRAL starting at 4 right here on WRAL.
Thanks, Ken. Just ahead, artificial intelligence is becoming an everyday technology for some, but training for that type of tech can put a big strain on the power grid. We'll explain how companies are working to avoid a system overload.
And in just a few weeks, you'll see a total solar eclipse, what the FAA is warning of as we approach that day. And if you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRAL News app.
Artificial intelligence is here to stay, and one aspect of the technology is that it puts a big strain on the nation's power grid.
Sean Lingiel takes a look at the efforts to prevent a system overload.
With a simple prompt and click, artificial intelligence can generate essays, images, and more in seconds.
AI is here and it's coming at us fast and furious.
But the companies behind these programs need massive data centers to help train their software. And this requires a whole lot of electricity.
You can have ChatGPT, for example, be able to talk to you like a human being. We had to first train it to be able to do that. So that requires a lot of electricity. Making it possible for you to just go on your phone and ask ChatGPT anything, that also needs electricity because it has to be on standby 24/7.
Philip O'Donker of the Stevens Institute of Technology says this is straining the national power grid. It also comes at a time when more businesses and households are embracing electric gadgets and moving away from fossil fuels.
And so in buildings, we're now using electricity for heating. We're using electricity for cooking. We also have our vehicles, which are becoming electrified.
To help the power grid manage the growing demand, some tech giants behind AI programs are looking for ways to generate their own electricity.
They are thinking about how can we develop smaller nuclear power plants to power our data centers. You can have nuclear operate 24/7 with minimal environmental impacts.
This push for nuclear comes as O'Donker says renewable energies like solar and wind aren't supplying enough power for AI.
The sun doesn't always shine, the wind doesn't always blow, so they're not necessarily the right fix.
That was Sean Langille reporting there. Experts recommend communities invest in infrastructure upgrades to their power grids to prevent these system overloads.
We're waiting for President Biden from the Roosevelt Room. There is a live report headed our way, and we're going to hear him speak about that tragedy that happened, the Baltimore Bridge collapse, when a cargo ship ran into it in the overnight hours. 1:30 in the morning is when this happened. We are now approaching 11 hours since that was called in, and there was a massive response. I think they were expecting up to 20 people on that. The good news out of all this is that there were 8 people on there. 2 have been rescued so far, and 6 as the recovery rescue operation continues. 6 people still missing.
Sure, and they were talking about the temperature of the water as well. Divers were down there searching for these. There were 8 people total. 2 were rescued. One of them was okay. The other did go to the hospital, but they were talking about the temperature of the water and how long somebody could possibly last in the water before, you know, freezing, hyperthermia risk. So they were, still searching at this hour. This is a live look right now, hoping to find the remaining 6. We've learned that they were construction workers on top of that bridge working, filling in potholes on that bridge when that bridge collapsed.
You know, as everyone was responding to this, the information coming in, you wonder, how does a ship like that just run into a bridge when they have a local pilot who takes those vessels, if they're incoming, goes out to sea, gets on board, and brings it in because of the intricacies of that river channel. And if it's outgoing, like this one was, the pilot takes it out to sea and then gets off, and it continues on its way. This ship was headed to Sri Lanka out of that harbor there. All of the traffic in and out of the harbor has been stopped, not just for search and rescue efforts, but because that bridge is sitting in the water. They can't get through safely right there right now, and there are millions of dollars per day in transportation items that need to be shipped in and out of that area. Very busy harbor, the ninth busiest in the country.
Yes, and the FAA also stopping all flights around this area over the bridge collapse. They announced that around 8 o'clock this morning that they were not allowing any commercial airlines to fly around this as they continue their search. But thank goodness they were able to make that Mayday call right before they hit that bridge, allowing them to stop the traffic from going over, because those construction workers, they fell into the river. But imagine the amount of commercial vehicles and trucks that you know would have gone in if they did not shut that bridge down when they did.
It saved lives.
It did. It very, saved
very
a
simply
lot of lives.
Saved lives because the traffic just plain stopped on that. The one they have reported early that a tractor trailer was involved in that, but that was the cement truck that was doing the work with some of the concrete that they were trying to fix some of those potholes and get that bridge together. So there's no time frame whatsoever about when that bridge might be repaired or at least cleared out. Some of the pieces of the bridge need to be cut into more pieces before they get removed. And the equipment to do that is not headed in that direction for a few more days. So the days and weeks
yes.
ahead that it takes to get that back up and running.
Yeah.
And a major artery around. It's a beltway to get around Baltimore, to get around the outer Baltimore County.
A major thoroughfare
yeah,
for a
exactly.
lot of people. Yeah. All right. We're waiting for President Biden. As soon as he comes out, we will take him live. But we're going to go over to Brian Schrader now. He's got a cloudy look over Wilson, Brian.
Yes. This is a look at the Whirligig Park there in downtown Wilson. And you can see they're not moving right now. The temperature in Wilson is in the mid-50s. Again, that calm wind, that will change, though, as we head into Thursday. We've got a cold front coming through that'll bring us some gusty winds on Thursday, along with a good soaking rain. And Michelle mentioned that we are looking at mostly cloudy skies. In some areas, we have the clouds thin enough that a little sunshine is getting through, so we kind of have that milky sun, just enough to cast some shadows. As we head through the rest of the afternoon, we'll see temperatures warming into the mid-60s later today, and it looks like our rain chances will hold off until the overnight hours. Here's a look at satellite and radar. We're tracking this cold front that's moving through western Tennessee right now, and you can see all that moisture ahead of it. It's all heading our way, so let's check in and see what the time frame for that is, and it looks like that the president's getting ready to speak.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, President Biden in the Roosevelt Room.
For North Carolina, which I'm going to do in a few minutes, I want to speak briefly about the terrible incident and accident that happened in Baltimore this morning. At about 1:30, a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware either on a train or by car. I've been in Baltimore Harbor many times. And the bridge collapsed, sending several people and vehicles into the water, into the river. And multiple U.S. Coast Guard units, which are stationed very nearby, thank God, were immediately deployed along with local emergency personnel. And the Coast Guard is leading the response to the port, where representatives from the Federal Highway Administration, the FBI, the Department of Transportation, the Army Corps of Engineers, as well as Maryland officials and Baltimore Police and Fire, are all working together to coordinate an emergency response.